Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends. Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082.
Hi, I'm Eddie Grant, and you're listening to Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM.
Hey, what's up? This is Craig David, and I'm right here on Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM.
1212, how's it going? This is Shlomo. You're listening to Sheffield Live.
Yes, I am. Me day upon a control tower, you know. Friday the 27th of February. You in tune to sweet talking sport, you know. It's just me one carrying a swing this evening. So I hope everybody are locking pan 93.2, also available on DAB Digital 2, you know. And if it's your first time, you've kind of like rocking up, you know, I hope you're gonna really kind of enjoy what I've got for you this evening. So, you know, Sweet Talking Sport is a straight to the point chat show that deals with the latest sports news and stories, both interviews and drawing an audience that fit today's modern day society, devoted entirely to discussion on sporting events, whether local, whether national, yeah, good to go, on air, expansive debate, analyze by myself, may I carry the swing this evening. Yeah? This is your regular programming. This is probably Yorkshire's best sports chat show radio station you'll ever hear. Yeah? Listen live every Friday, 6 till 7. And if you slip, you can catch it up. Yeah? Quan. You know, without further ado, I hope nobody's listening out there, but you know what? If you are, better keep it to yourself, you know? I want to go into a bit of snooker, really, and want to talk about John Virgo. I mean, he passed away earlier on in the month. But I just want to do my kind of tribute. Do Sweet Talking Sports tribute to a great snooker player. Yeah? Age 79. Act a bit of a pantomime villain. But yeah, he could play. You know, like I said, he passed away, I think it was the 4th of February, earlier on this month. Cause of death, a ruptured aorta. I mean, basically, that's like the walls of the body's main artery when it tears completely through, causing an often internal bleeding. Yeah? Now, the mortality rate of this, you're talking probably about 80, maybe touching 90%, you know, if not treated like immediately, you know. And it can cause from, you know, various things, trauma being a main one, also kind of like infections, but yeah, like I said, it's like a tear in the inner layer, you know. I mean, risk factors, you know, you're talking like males in their, you know, 60s and 70s, you know, at risk of, like, you know, high blood pressure, you know, smoking, family history also is in there. But, you know, let's just sort of sit back and just relax and just listen to a little bit more of kind of like, you could say, you know, titles what this guy kind of like had in his back pocket. 1979 UK champion. That's when he kind of like beat the man Terry Griffiths, you know. 1980 Bombay International champion, which he also collected in that same year, the Pontins professional. And also, well, I think it was the 84 Professional Snooker League. So, sadly, John Virgo passed away in Spain, you know. And like I said, this guy was a legend, you know. You're talking like 18 years. That's his career, you know. Playing at the height of his kind of game, you know. Perhaps known for post-playing career, presenting snooker on the TV. Those who can remember a show called The Big Break alongside, you know, the comic Jim Davidson. And that was 90s, early 90s, probably 1991, 92. Going on to what, 2002. You know, he retired from the game back in 94. And after that, you know, just like any sort of great sports person, they take up punditry, commentary, you know, of their sport, which they dominated over the years, you know. And I can remember watching Virgo, and the guys who was around at the time, you know, you're talking Higgins, you know what I mean? You know, obviously Jimmy White, Kirk Stevens, and I think also, I mean, Davis as well, Taylor was around. I mean, people call Davis kind of like boring, but he kind of just grinded out the matches then, you know what I mean? Just that kind of like style, slow, precision, you know, deliberate, you know, kind of, you know, not a rush in him at all. He just kind of like played the game his way. Nobody would rush him, you know. And, you know, was quite successful. But, you know, like I said, Mr. Virgo, immeasurable kind of loss to snooker, you know. I mean, snooker's a tight-knit sport anyway, ain't it? You know, with the broadcastings like, you know, Davis, Taylor's had a go on there also as well. And you get the household names, you know? But yeah, Virgo, he was a character within himself, you know what I mean? Very kind of like, you know, funny guy. And on the scene, you know, you're talking about exhibition matches as well with, you know, with Taylor as well, you know. So, yeah, it's a big loss, you know, to the sport out there, you know. In tune to Sweet Talking Sport on Friday, the 27th, 18:10, and counting now. Now, something... What is a different kind of story, you know? And this one's about a guy called Thibaut Flamand, which is kind of like French. And I suppose that's a bit of French just coming out of me, you know? Thibaut Flamand, you know? French rugby player, 28 years of age, plays his trade for Toulouse, and also plays for the French national team also as well. Now, I just want to play kind of like a little bit from this rugby player and see if he can work out, you know, what this guy's had to say for himself.
You Charlie Ruth, yeah, we've been through medical assistance for a baby, but like we've been surprised to see how many people that we know went through that. So yeah, it was nice. And obviously, it was a bit not easy, you know, to make the decision of like, okay, we're gonna like explain why. So we found forcing maybe like some people would be saying, oh, this is stupid, or like should we do that or whatever. But like actually, the reality was what we also kind of hoped was that a lot of people being very nice to us, wishing us good luck, sending tips, people that went through the same stories and like saying, oh, we tried this but that didn't work, so we did that and it worked with that. So just letting you know. People that have been through that, some guys as well saying like, yeah, like, well, me and my partner have been through that, but if you want to speak like guy to guy, you know, it's obviously a different job for us. So happy to help. So it's been great. Honestly, it's been great.
So, you know, as you can kind of gather, Thibaut Flamand, him and his partner have been through the fertility treatment process, you know, and it's kind of like when I kind of looked at this, you know, he wanted to help, you know, other people who have been through or going through a similar kind of thing, medication, surgery, or, you know, assisted reproduction technology, you know. But if you listen to the stats, you know, one in three, that's what, 3%, you know, IVF births are conceived in the UK. So just think about that for a moment, you know, 1 in 32. 3%, yeah, go through, you know, medication or surgery, or for those who want to call it assisted reproduction technology. Now, as big as he is, you know, and people will look at him as, you know, big unit, big guy, just human as well, you know. So it's not just like, you know, he's busy on the pitch, it's kind of like off the pitch as well, you know. This guy, he arrived in what, Argentina, Capical, which is Buenos Aires, yeah? Came from Loughborough University. Studying. Now, Flemont International Business Degree course, what he had been through, you know? Been through the system, been through the interviews, done the assessments, just to try to secure, a decent, high-flying job, yeah? But his goals were kind of like different, you know, like going back to the Loughborough when he's studying. He said, you know what? His vibe was different. He told his people them, he said, do you know what? I want to go to Argentina to play rugby. People looked at him like he was some kind of crazy dude. Yeah? But he was a dude on a mission, all right? You know? And he said, yeah, people were surprised. They didn't really point the way for him. He had to kind of galvanise that. Use his experience, daunting task maybe, but a young guy like that to just, you know, take off and project his future where he wanted to be. You know, I think, you know, yeah, tap on the back. It's like, jolly good show, jolly good chap, you know? Them kind of lyrics there, you know? They were trying to get into everywhere, you know, at Pat's network, like I said, in Buenos Aires, the private French school, French ambassador, tried to seek them out, you know, but he had to stick it, he had to stick to the program, stick to the plan, you know, even went to a coffee morning, you know, with the partners of the expats who were working in Buenos Aires at the time. All in all, basically, Thibault just wanted a job, yeah? And then one day at this event, this geezer came up to him and said, you know, I want you to work for me. And he said, listen, I can get you my CV and all that kind of stuff. This guy who offered him this job said, listen, I don't need that. I've seen the determination, the evidence. I've heard also as well on the streets that you're something different. He says, I've seen enough of you. I'm going to give you a job. No problem. Like I said, plays for Toulouse, French, plays for France also as well. Grew up in Belgium, bit of a mismatch there going off in the background, but you know, I saw people here sometime, you know, and then, you know, like I said, moved to Loughborough University on his sports rugby program, you know, and just arrived as a lanky half. And initially playing for the universe's fifth team, to playing for his country. What a program that guy must have been on, you know. But yeah, so no matter how big, you know, have a bit of compassion and stuff, and just remember about them stats, like 1 in 3. That's 3% of IBF, you know, reproduction technology. So, you know, some people aren't so fortunate, but with technology, you know, it can get you there. Yeah. So just going to kind of warm things up a little bit now. We're going into boxing. So if you've missed the start of the show, listen to Sweet Talking Sport. It's Friday the 27th of February, 1819. So it's been announced that these two brutes, the boys and Wardley, are going to lock horns on the 9th of May at Manchester. You know, this is a tear-up you don't want to miss. Yeah? Like I said, two big brutes, big punchers. Is this, I repeat, is this a 50-50 fight? You know? Some people might say, yeah, some people might say, this one is difficult to call. Yeah? I mean, Du Bois, 28, the younger of these fighters, and Wardsley will be rocking up at 31. I mean, if you look at their records, I mean, Du Bois has won what? 23, lost 3, 21 KOs. That's more than decent, isn't it? Yeah? To Wardsley, 21 wins, yet to taste defeat. Is the 9th of May where that 0 becomes 1? And he's got 19 KOs, what he's chalked up also as well. So that's 9th of May, Manchester. I'm looking forward to that. I don't want to miss that. I mean, the month of May, you're talking bull, you're talking Taurus. You know what I mean? So it looked like, say, these two guys are going to go to war, you know? And, you know, which one is going to come out victorious? Now, I mean, you know, imagine, okay, let's strip this fight down to the bone. Yeah? Now, what are you looking for in this kind of like fight? I mean, who's got the better skill? You know what I mean? Who's got that kind of, that strategy, that kind of like know-how, you know? The technique. What am I seek? And which one of them have the ability to rock the other one? That's what I'm saying. That's where I'm coming from. Yeah? Which one has the ability to rock one of them? Now, I'm not saying that the first one will get rocked, yeah, is going to lose. Because anything can happen in boxing, yeah? Both of them have got a puncher's chance. Both of them are big brutes. Both of them can deliver, yeah? I mean, it's like that sport, innit? You know, where they just stand toe-to-toe and then box each other in a defierce. Well, it's like a slap, innit? They slap each other. Imagine you've got Du Bois and Wardsley at that, yeah? Which one of them is going to stand tall at the end of the night? Which one's going to be victorious, like I said? You know what I mean? I believe that maybe both of them are going to touch the canvas. Both of them, I feel, so are going to touch the canvas. But you know what? I'm going to call it already. The fight's not until May, but I'm going to call it already. I'm going to turn up in Du Bois' corner. Yeah? That's where I'm tanning up. Yeah? I mean, Daniel, you know, in the Lion's Den, he's inviting him in the Lion's Den. Yeah? He is a power puncher. Yeah? But like I said, make no mistakes, this, in my thoughts, might even go from one to another. But if I'm going into William Hill, yeah, money's going on Du Bois. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying to people out there, I'm not trying to encourage people to bet and all them kind of things because he ain't control itself. But if you're a certain age, just gamble responsible. You know what I mean? Just be responsible for your own actions. Yeah? You know, listen to Sweet Talking Sport. It's Friday the 26th. We're talking boxing. We're talking May the 9th. Yeah? A fight not to be missed. Yeah? And, I mean, like I said, these guys, you know? I mean, okay, look at, let's look at, let's look at kind of like, who shall we look at first? Let's look at Wardley, okay? Seeing as he's the champ, you have to give him that, innit? Yeah? The two biggest punches ever weighed, yeah? They're going to collide. Can you just imagine this, this fight on the 9th of kind of May in Manchester, you know? You know, Wardley WBO champ will defend his title against Daniel. Now, I heard Wardley earlier on. He said he wanted to have a look around and, you know, see which is the kind of like one of the best heavyweights around who's going to be value for money. You know what I mean? He just didn't want to defend his title and get a points win or something like that. He said he wanted to do it for the crowd. He wanted excitement. Well, he couldn't have gone any further, could he? You know what I mean? With Daniel, you know, in the opposite kind of side. But both guys possess knockouts in them. The stats say that, the ratios say that, you know. Only, you know, one aspect of this, right, is going to be a scorecard. But we know how boxing can be teeth, innit? We know how the judges can get a little bit pen happy and get the digits mixed up and all them kind of things. Well, let's hope it doesn't happen on May the 9th. Let's hope we've got top judges in there. Let's hope there's no teeth in. You know what I mean? Because this fight doesn't deserve it. That's right. That's what I said. This fight does not deserve any teething going on in the background whatsoever. You know? I mean, Du Bois is a former champ. He's a former IBF champ. You know what I mean? Fell short, you know, a little bit, but he's still got that fighter's chance, you know. It was the second encounter with Usyk, second successive attraction for him. Lost on two occasions, but he came into the light, you know, when AJ was at the opposite side, and we all know what happened to that, innit? You know. Well, Du Bois has put himself in the position when he became the number one contender, didn't he? You know, and earned that kind of respect. He earned the right to fight Usyk. Now, I think Usyk was just not one notch better. You know, maybe I'd go as far as four notches better. You know, if you put years on top of Usyk, Du Bois, the younger man, takes that title for me. Yeah. But like, looking at this fight, yeah, it's got it all. It's appealing. It's one, you know, not to be missed for sure. Yeah. This is sweet. I'm talking sport. Yeah. 18:28, you know. And if you've missed the start of this show, no problem. Yeah, you can just like, you know, Google, you know, radio, Sheffield Live Radio schedule, and it's on there. Yeah, you can either download it or listen now, you know. So don't worry about if you've missed the start of this show, you know. But yeah, a fight, 9th of May, not to be sniffed at, you know, not to be missed. You blink, you know, and it could be all over, you know, because these guys have got the capacity, yeah, to fix one of them, yeah, can fix him up, no problem. Gonna kind of jump in a different area now. So that's like, you know, your Du Bois against Wardsley coming up on the 9th. So I want to spend a little time on this kind of next topic because it's large, it's big, it's massive. You know what I mean? And there is a sad side to it. But you put the boot on the other foot and you know they're going to be bossy still. You know, without a doubt. Yeah? We're talking about Sheffield Wednesday. And obviously where they're at, you know? So I just want you to kind of like, you know, listen to this dude. Yeah.
London, Alex Crook to round up some of the latest headlines in the world of football, and we want to tackle in particular the situation with Sheffield Wednesday, because you and I had a discussion on Sunday, didn't we, when we were at the North London Derby with Alan Biggs. And the result that obviously ultimately relegated Sheffield Wednesday was a defeat in the Steel City Derby. But of course, the reason that they're going down goes back a very long way. The hope is that the takeover that was agreed at the end of last year will be done and dusted by April. But is it certain to go through? I suppose they need to know that, don't they, Sheffield Wednesday fans?
Yeah, they do, and this is one of the stories in my notebook on the TalkSport website today, that there are serious doubts, I think, about this potential takeover of Sheffield Wednesday, bearing in mind that it's 2 months today since a fee was agreed of, we believe, around £30 million with a three-man consortium, including James Board, a German AI expert, Felix Rumer, and a Middle East businessman as well.
But pure rumours, knowing it.
The group yet to be approved, you know, by the EFL. Pure rumours. Interestingly, a new twist in this. The independent football regulator, I'm told, are also carrying out their own inquiries, which could delay it. I'm told this is expected to drag on for several weeks, maybe even towards the back end of the season. And I think one potential issue at a time when the government are looking to clamp down on gambling sponsorship in sport, and I think that's something we're going to be talking about on this programme a lot in the upcoming weeks and months, is that James Board is a former professional punter. He was part of the Starlizza Group, I believe, with Tony Bloom, the owner of Brighton. And another potential development is that Mike Ashley, former Newcastle owner, is still, I'm told, waiting in the wings. His offer for the club was well short of what this consortium are willing to pay. But if it does fall through, then don't rule out Mike Ashley making another offer.
And you've been sort of aware of these situations at Sheffield Wednesday, haven't you? What's your view on it?
We stuck a bid in, didn't we? And I was very clear in the way that we wanted to do the deal, that I didn't want to. I felt that the Football League rules are poor, that you don't want to reward bad ownership. So why would I want to pay 25p in the pound to give to Chancery rather than invest it in the football club?
Should we just clarify, first of all, that it's not me and you going in?
No, myself and a very good friend of mine called Ryan Howsam, who owns a billion-dollar business called Stayshore, and he's a Sheffield lad. And we looked at it, we spoke, we put a bid in, we put together a deal, and we didn't want to do it in our...
Yeah, I just want to just jack that up a little bit because, I mean, you know, I get what Jordan's saying, you know what I mean? Saying that he don't really want to reward kind of like bad ownership as well. But, I mean, that guy, me and CV had a chat about this and we said, listen, Chancery, he's put some corn, right, their way, right? Now, you know, there was at one time, you know, Wednesday was on the verge of... you know, getting into the Prem, you know what I mean? But they failed, you know, with the playoffs and that. But to get to the playoffs, you know that you have to invest. You can't just walk it, you know. If you look at, say, I don't know, Wrexham, for example, now, how much millions have they ploughed in? Not just for the team, but for the infrastructure as well, the stadium. If you look at that place developing, you know what I mean? But there's corn going in there too, you know what I mean? Now, yeah, he kind of gambled in the end. But, you know, I remember when Wednesday were bought, was it Hooper from Celtic? They had some names, you know what I mean? turning up, you know, putting on that blue and white for them boy there, you know, for Captain Moore team. You know what I mean? But like I said, they fall short. You fall short, you know, you take a gamble. Yeah, it's only going to get one outcome. Yeah. But that's where I kind of disagree with Jordan. It's like, he's put Khan in, he owes him a change. Let the man have him change and send him about his business. Send him on his way. You know what I mean? Because you can't expect, I mean, after all, man's a human being, isn't it? You can't expect a man to just walk away. You know what I mean? Like, you know, we're not in our pocket. You know what I mean? Put change in our pocket, man. You know what I mean? And then you can build up for your things. Yeah. Yeah, listen, I'm just getting a little bit passionate there, a little bit excited, yeah? But listen to this again.
And we looked at it, we spoke, we put a bid in, we put together a deal, and we didn't want to do it in under the terms of the administrator's remit. We think that the EFL, and I had a conversation with the EFL, I think the EFL, if they wanted to, they could put a 15-point penalty in this season.
Mm-hmm.
There's precedent for it not being done that way, but the guidelines, they're not rules, they're guidelines. So the big thing was, is that...
Listen, let me just jack it up again, because I disagree with that. The down, right? So why are you going to fling another 15 points on them when they're down? It'll have no bearing, absolutely no consequence for that. You know what I mean? The thing is if they don't, you know, get this cash together and pay Chancery a wage or take it to that man can get a tea or something, you know what I mean? Or an up cross bun or something like that, you know what I mean? Then what is this coming to, you know? So, Jordan, that's where you're kind of wrong again.
There's precedent for it not being done that way, but the guidelines, they're not rules, they're guidelines. So the big thing was, is that no one wants to give Chancery 15 million quid on the way in. Why should they? I mean, I'd like to have had it on my way out of Palace, but the reality of it is a bad ownership should
stop
be
nice, Jordan, man. Sure, stop
in and running the way he has, there's a consequence for it. You can't reward bad ownership by saying, here's a safety net for 25% of your money. It doesn't work that way, but in football it does. So the irony of the rule, which is basically a sort of a rule of other football clubs going, well, why should they come out of administration without paying this, that and the other? Well, you normally, when you come out of administration, you're massively depleted anyway. And so this sort of small thinking of well, they should have to pay 25p in the pound for unsecured. Yes, unsecured businesses that are doing business with you, not shareholders that are unsecured creditors. If you make a holdings of a business, you should be consequence for it. So we didn't want to do it on that basis. But I also believe that the 15-point penalty is a deterrent, because if you take it this season, you don't care, you would get relegated.
So you're saying they're going to have another 15 penalty?
If they don't pay the 25p in the pound, which is why the football club's at 30 million quid, which is why Mike Ashley doesn't want to pay it, which is why I didn't want to pay it. And whether these guys... Now, the interesting thing for these guys, I think, Alex, you may well know this, they must have paid a 10% deposit on the way in.
Yeah, so, I mean, that you've got to gesture that, you know. And I just think that, yeah, you know, get a man in change and then you can start from scratch and start build up again, because it's not only just investing in the team. Like we've said many times, you know, many a Friday evenings on this show, that it's the infrastructure to the ground one build up. Yeah? You have the training ground. Yeah? Where am I going to get a new hot air balloon or something like that? You know what I mean? That you know, that one. Come up, let's up at Hillsborough. You know, academy. You know, you have to feed, you know, clubs like Wednesday, which will be looking on the youth. Their academy now is going to be a priority to, you know, nurture them homegrown players, because they won't have the con to go shopping at Harrods. You know what I mean? You know, it's buy one, get one free for them. You know what I'm saying? So... yeah, you know, well, I better be careful, you know, because one day I'll probably need a police escort out here. But it's the own truth. And your Wednesday fans, now listen, I'm gonna tell you straight right now, yeah, that if the boot, your creps, your trainer, yeah, your clerks, if they're sat on the other foot, you'd have been rapping the same. Yeah? You'd have been spitting bars at United fans all the same. In fact, I reckon it'd be worse. So, it's the truth. On the decline, I mean, Jordan says the sleeping giant. He were pushing the shade. He was saying, yeah, it's kind of common knowledge. Simon Jordan was saying, listen, I've spoke to Ali Sheikh and I've said, if you want to buy a club, you buy Sheffield Wednesday. In fact, the captain reminded us about that, you know, in our WhatsApp group. Oh, yeah, in my kind of like, yeah, it's that particular period of the season, Captain Mo's phone was working. You know what I mean? He was saying, watch out. Look who's coming to buy this sleeping giant. But guess what? Giant can't wake up yet. You know what I mean? They're a long way off it. I'm telling you. Yeah? So, you know, and hey, listen, I'm gonna drop this live and direct, yeah, but listen. What I'm going to tell you now, it doesn't go anywhere. Yeah, you keep it to yourself. You understand? Yeah? On Wednesday, I bumped into a guy. This is a true story. Ain't no joke. Ain't no joke thing. Yeah? This is true. Yeah? So on Wednesday, I bumped in to one of the administrators. Right? He never knew who I was. Yeah, but I knew who he was. Yeah, had some inside information. You listening? And I said, yo, are you part of this group? Are you working on the Wednesday team? He kind of nodded his head. Yeah. So I said, listen, I've got a radio station, right, called Sweet Talking Sport. How about you come on our show, yeah, on Friday, yeah, and give us your account of what's happening behind the scenes. Because the Sheffield Wednesday fans and my friend Captain want to know. Christmas Eve, right, they should have made an announcement. We're now in February, you know what I mean? Coming to the end, yeah, coming to the end of the month. So people should have kind of like smelt the gravy and thought, you know what? Is this happening or not? What's going on behind the scenes? They have got a right to know. Some of them people, some of them thousands are season ticket holders. Do you know what I mean? Yeah? And I said, listen, I'll give you some airspace. Come on to the show. You know what he did? He passed it by. You know, like that tune, Walk On By. He passed it by. Yeah? But guess what? I'm going to poke the bear again. Because I've got the contact details. Yeah? So if he, and I'll say he, because I'm not going to burn them. Yeah? I'm not going to put a damper on their name. I'm not going to identify this guy who was part, yeah, part of the administration team, yeah, what are going through, making sure the bills are being paid, yeah, and I'm not even joking, I'm not pulling no punches at this. This is Sweet Talking Sport and I'm live and I'm direct. It's 18:43, we're talking Sheffield Wednesday, because yeah, they are in a mess and they deserve the airspace, so they get it on this show, you know. And anybody's not happy with it, you don't have to listen to this. You can just turn that dial. You know what I mean? Just switch him. Yeah? But this is real things and this is reality. You know what I mean? You know, you don't get it right, you're going to get burned. You play with fire, you're going to get burned. You know what I mean? Yeah? And unfortunately, if you like the colour blue and white, you're going to get burned same way. You know what I mean? But, yeah, so that's a true thing. But like I said, guys, I'm going to poke the bear again. So I'm not going to give it up because I believe that this is a platform where they need some representation. Yeah. And we're going to provide it right here on a Friday Sweet Talking Sport. Yeah. So watch that space. So basically, you know, the board group, the granted preferred bidders, and this was going on before Christmas, you know, I believe, what, 47.8 mils, yeah, which not just represented the highest bidder, but apparently the best proposal. I'm scratching my head at that, are you? Because if somebody, you know, if, you know, got a club, let's just say Sheffield Wednesday, in it knee deep, not getting out anytime soon, yeah? We've already said it's not just about investing in the squad, but the youth. They're going to be relying on that, looking at loan signings, free transfers, yeah? You know, them scouts are going to be busy, and we're not talking about Boy Scouts, you know what I mean? We're talking about these guys who go around looking players, recommending players as well. They need the cream of the crop out there. They need to, as soon as, well, their season's done, so they'll be looking now, and they'll be making recommendations now. You've got some agents, right, who are saying, I've got a player for you. They're going to be busy. And don't get me wrong, they're going to have players coming to that side. Yeah, some of them, you know, might be injury prone or whatever. But they're going to have to be careful. They can't all kind of have youth in there. They're going to have to mix and blend. You know what I mean? But yeah, some serious vibes. So, like I said, you know, it weren't just the highest bidder, but apparently the best proposal. Like I said, you know, for those who have just joined, I'm scratching my head, because if you're selling a club and one man's bidded, like, say, 40 million, and the other consortium have put in, like, what, 47.8 on the table and said, this is how much we have. I'm sorry, but you're going to take 47.8. You know what I mean? And what you're going to say to them people what have undercooked it? You're going to say, I'm sorry, but we've had a better offer. Thank you, but no thanks. That's what you're going to say. You know what I mean? So, you know, after Ulipa due diligence, yeah, you know, or reasonable steps, you could say, was taken from the accountancy firm, you know, they looked at it. They concluded, looked at the offer, and the people them who have pulled out are saying, listen, it's too much, mate. It's too much. We're not gonna stretch, we're not gonna burn that far. You know what I mean? Now, we're looking to pay this because we've got, you know, 50 mil. Chancery want that. Yeah, and then they've got to put millions into the infrastructure, and then I'm not going to say millions, I say, you know, thousands now. So Wednesday they'll be talking thousands, you know, for bringing in players, and some of them, are they going to be on loan? Well, you're going to have the parent club, the mother club, well, are going to have to cough up a big amount. And I tell you what, if you're a manager of another club and Sheffield Wednesday are coming for your players, not only is the club leasing the player or lending the player, yeah, to Sheffield Wednesday, are going to have to pay, you know, a big percentage of that player's wage, right? So, therefore, what you're going to say, or what you're going to insist, you're going to say, listen, if we're leasing you, letting you, borrowing our player, he needs to be playing regular football. Now, whether Wednesday's boss wants that or not, but his hands are going to be tied. You know, I heard something the other day. He's asking the players, you know, with reputation or ex-reputation who played for Wednesday to come and join him on the coaching scene. Come, if you're doing your coaching badge, do it here. Do it with us. You know what I mean? An absolutely crazy situation, you know. 18:50 and counting. We're still on Sheffield Wednesday now. Some Wednesday fans might think, oh, yeah, you're on the case and this, that, and that. You know, this is it. This is reality. This is where we're at, you know. So, like I said, the people who were looking to buy, too much. You know what I mean? But, you know, hey, you know, things happen. But, you know, I mean, if we're talking like kind of, we're talking kind of like unwanted records, aren't we? You know, there's no club what would want them unwanted records what Sheffield Wednesday are potentially going to have, yeah? You know? So, I mean, you're talking about what? 18-point deduction, you know? That's what they got slapped with. 18 points, you know? Sanction. You know? Couldn't manoeuvre in a transfer market, you know, with them players and that, you know? They have to work things out. They have to ask the EFL to say, you know, please, sir, can you fling us a couple of players this way? Yeah? And then, you know, this is just one win you've registered, you know what I mean? And 8 draws in 33 games. Now, Wednesday fans will say, oh, yeah, but we were down anyway. Do you know what I mean? No, officially down when United beat you 2-1. It's that what will be going into the record books. It won't be saying, oh, Sheffield Wednesday, we're down already. Mm-mm. Don't try to write the history records when you have no pen for right. You get me? So let's make it clear. 18 points deduction. Sanction can't bring any players in on loan until you get permission. And to date, 1 win. 8 draws, 33 games, still minus 7, officially relegated against their nosy neighbours, that's what Michael Keane would say, you know what I mean? Tall order, we know that. Let's stick with this and let's see if we can turn on the lights, yeah? Let's see if we can brighten things up. So Sheffield Wednesday entertain the Saints on Saturday, 3 o'clock kickoff. You know, so when the Saints, when the Saints go marching in, I want to be in that number. Yeah, 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 enough of that. I'll leave that to the Southampton supporters to finish off that tune there. Can Sheffield Wednesday get their first win of the season? I mean, it's ridiculous, we're in February and we're talking, can they get the first win at home all season? Unwanted record. This is probably Pedersen's thing. Come on, guys. Let's bust that record. Yeah, Carl, we don't want it. We don't want no unwanted record. We've got to make sure that we've got a win. Now, you know, Southampton are seventh. They've got a lot to play for, because if they win, right, big chance of winning the top 6. For Wednesday, their season's done. United finished that. You know what I mean? But what they're playing for is to avoid the unwanted record of never to win a home game all season as a professional club. Yeah? Who would have thought on 27th of Feb at Chef Live, Sweet Talking Sport, 18:54 would be saying that, or you would be hearing that, yeah? Big game And like Ashley now, my Ashley waiting in the wings. I tell you what, there was a cut I did like from Mr. Jordan. And what he said is admitted putting a bid on the table with a Sheffield businessman, but they didn't want to pay Chancery 15 mil. So they said, thank you, we're gone. We take our monies, yeah, we're gone. Right? So Jordan said that it's like Ashley's putting a bid, a little bit of cash. It's like he's come to the table, there's a fiver, take it or leave it. So you might have Ashley, yeah? But whoever buys it, if they do buy it, yeah, what happens if nobody buys it? Maybe that's something for next week. Yeah? What happens if nobody buys it? Well, that's probably, you know, one of the administrators. Like I said, I'm going to poke that bear. I'm not leaving that topic alone. I'll be back on it. Yeah? So, you know, offers fell short. For every pound, 15 pence in a pound. Chancery wants it. And do you think if Chancery was treated any better, he'd be like saying, listen, I'm going to lower my demands. But no, it wasn't. The way that they treated him in the end was a disgrace. Yeah? Was a disgrace. 18:56, few minutes left. Sheffield United, they travel down London to play QPR. QPR, just a couple of places above the Blades. Blades looking to bounce back after a narrow 2-1 defeat by the hands of Coventry City. I went to that game. Good game. Bruce Forsyth said that, didn't he? Good game. I thought Coventry very well. Could I see them in the Premiership? Yes. Will they get there? Yes. How much money would they have to spend? 90 mil. 100. Because I tell you what, they might get ripped apart. And that's the same for any other club going up, by the way. You know? Same for any other club going up. You're going to have to spend some serious cash. But, you know, Sheffield United, yeah, you know, looking to bounce back. You know, I think for me, their defence, they can't be gifting them away. Yeah, that has to improve. Top line, top end of pitch, that has to be improved, because them man, they have to punish them teams. You're gonna have to put your chances away, lads. Or is it a case of the playoffs slipping away? That is a possibility. But credit where credit's due. Because months ago, and I was one of them, I was saying, why? Look like relegation. Look like a City double. You know what I mean? But yeah, we managed to sort our stuff out. So with 9 points adrift, anything can happen. Funny is, football is a funny game. You know? So, hopefully, I you know, I'm not going to sit on the fence. I think, you know, I'm not going to turn my nose up to a point if we bring a point back from Loftus Road. But they're tough games down there. It's tough on the road. You know what I mean? When you're in it. But that's how things can change. They can change in a moment. But, you know, we're watching kind of like Wrexham, because it's Wrexham who entertain the sixth birth on 54. That the team who are catchable, and Southampton are on 50. So it's important that Southampton, from their point of view, they collect maximum points. Wrexham will be hoping that they dip, Bristol City dip, Preston North End have fallen short. So if there's any kind of challenge from the Blades, they need to be winning the home games. But just a note before I'm out of here, both top sides. They've lost to close margins. Yeah, it's them fine margins what they have to get a hold on.